Good afternoon, Wardville Community Church. It's Monday, October 17th, 2022. This is In the Know, episode 59. All right, well, let's jump straight in. We have one announcement, really just one announcement. I mean, I'm sure that I could make more up, but for the sake of time, both yours and mine, let's just do the one. Fall Festival, 4 p.m. this Sunday, Sunday the 23rd, our Fall Festival. We're going to start at 4, and we are going to do about 20 minutes of trash pickup in the Wardville community just as a means of getting out, hopefully meeting some people, hopefully praying with some people, but even if not, just entrusting our actions and efforts to the Lord and serving our brothers, our neighbors in the community. Okay, let's go into our sermon follow-up. All right, so three quick things. What a day yesterday. That was certainly a stretching time for me. I went into the fourth song. So we sang four songs before I preached. I went into the fourth song fully intending, fully believing I was about to get up and preach 3 John, middle of that fourth song, about like a minute and a half in, it just became clear I needed to change direction. I needed to just kind of get in line with what the Lord was doing. And so that happened. I had just spent time in Job 13 yesterday. I had journaled about it. It had ministered to me as a significant reminder of some of the things even that I talked about and that I'm going to talk about in the follow-up today. It was clearly the Lord's plan for us to be there, as evidenced by just the number of people who have essentially said, I really needed to hear that. That really hit, that really ministered. That's not credit to me. That's credit to the Lord who put that on my heart and who carried me along through it. So glory to God. Praise the Lord for his confusing, sometimes stretching, uncomfortable ways. Let me share three things. First is a song that Shane and Shane wrote about 10 years ago called Though You Slay Me. And it's based upon the text that we went to yesterday, Job 13, 15. Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. In this particular version, the one that you can click on in the newsletter that I've shared, they back off of the music about halfway through. Like they just pull it down and they've inserted an excerpt from John Piper's sermon called The Glory of God in the Sight of Eternity. And so if you want to go, I mean, I've also linked that whole sermon. If you want to go listen to it, it will repay you tenfold for your time in terms of the blessing that it will bring. If you're interested in just hearing kind of the section of that sermon, you can go to the 57 minute 20 second mark of the embedded video and you can hear him say the things that he says in that that music video. And then I also shared just a video about the story behind that song, how Shane and Shane came to write that song. It's also helpful just to see, like, that was a song that's not just written by a bunch of happy people who read the Bible and said, oh, that's cool. This would make a really great song. It's people, one of the Shanes in particular, like in the wake of losing his dad, kind of suddenly, kind of unexpectedly, and the suffering that kind of came out of that, the wrestling that came out of that, which I think also, you know, for me yesterday is what made the things that I said, like they were helpful and relevant to me. They were needed reminders for me because I'm wrestling, I'm struggling through these things. And like God is ministering to me with the truths that I'm also sharing just in a unique, particular way that speaks to my own pain. And so the song is very similar in that it came out of this experience of these words through suffering and the hope that they provide and the reminder that they are. And so that song is just really powerful. Let me encourage you, even if you need to pause this, go give that a listen, be encouraged, and maybe just repeat it, you know, a few times. Let me share a little bit about my hope from yesterday. You know, I always hope the sermons I preach are going to be useful and spiritually helpful to our people. But there's one particular way in which I hope this yesterday's experience that we all had together will help everybody who is suffering. You know, if nothing else, I'm hopeful that this experience helps your heart to understand that God sees you. Like he truly sees you. So just consider with me, he brought you there into the presence of his people. That's a grace. It's a gift. And then he took, I mean, in his divine prerogative, he took the work that I did last week and the sermon that I had written and set it aside, essentially scrapping it, for at least that Sunday, and then took essentially the pain that in some ways he has put me through and says, this needs to be the context from which you share. So you need to share out of the rawness of your own pain and suffering right now, your own discouragement, and you're wrestling with these things in front of these people. And so like he changed my direction and brought even, you know, me to a point of sharing with everyone, you know, not the specific details of everything, but just my own difficulty and struggles with the Lord. And so he's willing to do those things a minute and a half before I stood up to preach and just made it clear that he wanted to do a work in our people to help us make some sense of difficult circumstances that we wouldn't choose. Not that it makes all sense, like not that it all makes sense now, and not that it ever will, and not that this yesterday was a healing experience necessarily for you. If it just moves you from A to B, that's enough. But my point in saying all of that is, like, he wanted to do that for you. Like, he was willing to throw all of that to the side and bring you there and speak to your heart about your suffering. And so I just hope if nothing else, like if you didn't get anything out of any of it, let the experience itself teach your heart. He sees you. He cares for you. He wants to draw near to you and draw you near to himself. He is with you in your pain, willing to change the direction of the worship service to address you in your suffering and in your weakness. And honestly, that is a small thing compared to he was willing to put his own son upon the cross to suffer so that your suffering would have an expiration date. Right, so yesterday what he did is a small thing in comparison to that. So just be reminded, he has suffered for you and he walks with you in your present sufferings. The tears that you cry alone are not really alone. They are not unseen. He knows and he sees and he cares. And so finally, let me just conclude by saying, run to God and cling to him in your suffering. It's counterintuitive, or at least from a bare human perspective, like just a simply foundationally human perspective, not taking into account the things of the Spirit from a natural perspective. It's counterintuitive to run to God in our suffering, because if we see God as the one allowing or perhaps ordaining our suffering, it seems like we should want to run away from Him, from the hand that we perceive as hurting us. But He is the one who heals. So always, I want to be careful quoting Job's friends for the very reasons I cited yesterday. But there's a line that one of them says, Eliphaz, and is actually one of the first things spoken to Job in the book from his friends. And it's full of truth. Like, it's just full of truth. Now, once again, side note, like, it's truth that is misapplied, contextually misapplied to Job. But it is true. Like what he says in verse 17 about the Lord reproving and disciplining the one He loves, that is found in Proverbs 3 and in Hebrews 12. Like, that is clearly a biblical principle, right? But what we could probably say is Job wasn't being disciplined like for sins that he had committed, right? So it was misapplied in that way, but it's not untrue. And right after he makes that statement, he says this. He says in chapter 5, this is verse 18, "For He, God, wounds, but He binds up. He shatters, but His hands heal." Here is an acknowledgement that God is both the one who strikes down as well as the one who binds up our wounds. Again, this is difficult, but along with Job's words in 13:15, "Though He slay me, I will hope in Him," they remind us that even though our flesh might want to stay or run away, yet our spirits should actually compel us ever nearer. God is a present help in our time of need. He is a refuge and a rock to which we may continually come. He is the healer. And in our suffering, what we often need the very most is to draw ever nearer to Him, moment by moment, as He walks alongside and carries us through suffering. Like, do you think it was Job's mental resolve or moral virtue that carried him through all of that suffering and preserved his faith? No. God was there all along, working to preserve Job's faith so that he did not curse God and die. So know this, God is not threatened by your hard questions or your honest words. As a matter of fact, He wants to invite you near to express these to Him. And in so doing, He often ministers to us in ways we cannot fathom and grants a measure of peace and sometimes, dare we say it, even joy in the midst of trials. So run to God and cling to Him in your suffering. Don't run away from Him. Don't shrink back from Him. Go and tell Him about the wounds you've received, sometimes from His hand, and ask Him to bind them up as only He can. Let me reiterate once again, if you are suffering, you do not have to suffer alone. It is not God's plan for you to suffer alone. It is not more spiritual for you to suffer alone. Let us come alongside your grief, bear burdens with you, pray with you, weep with you, seek the Lord with you, and just be with you in your presence as you suffer. You don't have to suffer alone. God doesn't want you to suffer alone. We don't want you to suffer alone. So, let's band together and let's suffer well together. Let's hope in God together. Have a great week. I love you, people.